This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying with us on The Morning Run. My name is Koo Soo Chung, and I've been joined by the erstwhile Philip C. Now, also, we're running a poll on Twitter.
Yes, we're running a poll. What's your preferred method to pay your toll? I think options we're giving is RFID, touch and go, smart tech, and cash when available. Now, overwhelmingly, at about nearly 50%, 49%, many of you have voted to say smart tech, followed by touch and go at 30%, RFID, a distant 16%.
Right. And the reason why that poll exists is because the transition to RFID payment methods along the highways were implemented by, which I think completely took people by surprise a couple of days ago, resulting in hugely congested toll booths. So, of course, even the Works Minister, Dato' Sri Fadila Yusof, has directed Plush Malaysia and Touch and Go to find a solution because the traffic congestion has been really quite unbearable.
Yeah, I think this follows the implementation of the Radio Frequency Identification Technology System, or RFID, which is the latest way to pay for toll charges. Now, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri also weighed in and said that road users must be given options of either using the RFID, TNG, and smart tech at toll gates. Just to give you some background to this gridlock, it was announced last month that the entire North-South Highway would support RFID systems for toll payments from January 15th onwards. The Work Ministry has said that the implementation of RFID was aimed at reducing congestion at toll plazas and will coincide with the gradual discontinuation of touch and go and smart tech as payment options.
So the question, of course, is whether RFID is the way to go for the highways, or are they just teething issues that need to be resolved? So to answer this question and others, we speak to now to Chung Yi Fan, an independent transport policy analyst. Yi Fan, good morning. Now, what do you think of the RFID rollout so far? Has it been as smooth as expected or not?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, everyone. So the response has been disappointing, to say the least, right? Essentially, RFID is a digital tag or an IC, essentially, for cars. It is, for me, one of the most exciting digital transformation projects recently, but it has hit another major speed bump. But let me say it here. The RFID project started in September 2018, right? So we have passed more than 1,000 days, but only about 1.5 million tags, I check on some data, has been distributed. And this is under Touch and Go, right? It's not under Plus, it's under Touch and Go. Only Touch and Go has a monopoly of distributing RFID tags. In fact, Touch and Go has a monopoly in payment systems for all toll highways. So regardless you pay by smart tag or by Touch and Go cards or by RFID, the channel is through only Touch and Go. At this conversion rate, 1.5 million tags after, you know, about 2 to 3 years, it will take 20 years at this rate, 20 years for 90% of the cars to be fitted with RFID tags. So, you know, the speed has to be improved by leaps and bounds. Maybe to be made 10 times faster if we are to hit the targets.
Yeah, so you were saying you were disappointed. Are you disappointed at the implementation or at the communication of this rollout?
I think both. I think the communication part, why are we doing this? Why is it so important that we need to roll out RFID systems at such a large scale? It's not being communicated properly, both by the government, which sets policy directions, and also by the, you know, the companies involved. Let me say it here. I mean, this is a very pertinent question. Why do we need every car to be fitted with RFID? It is because, you know, in a couple of years, the government set the policy direction in 2015 that we are supposed to realize this thing called multi-lane free flow, which means we're supposed to remove all the toll barriers. So every vehicle just move freely, you know, when you drive on the highway. That is supposed to improve traffic flow, to reduce carbon emission and all those other benefits. But that is not being communicated properly. And the rollout itself is not managed and set, you know, to manage properly. Yeah.
So you found on the basis that RFIDs and all the such payment methods are meant to engineer smooth traffic flows, right? Should they have a case where you don't charge people for RFIDs and you don't have that, you know, the upfront cost, you just distribute them free so that people can use them and get on with their lives?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point, right? I mean, nothing's free. The RFID tag itself comes at a cost, but as you know, now popularized by maybe one of our more famous former prime minister, that the tag is not so expensive. Market cost is about less than a US dollar. But I want to caution everyone, the tag itself might be cheap, but what is costly is for companies that roll out the tag to open fitment centers, to hire people to make sure the tags are fitted properly, to vet records before you every vehicle is being fitted with these tags. So all this come with a cost, but is 35 ringgit too expensive? For me, I think it is. And people in the industry are saying, you know, maybe perhaps a cost like 10 ringgit or 15 ringgit will encourage, incentivize more car owners to get their cars fitted with RFID as soon as possible. The cost, should the government bear part of the cost? I think that's a policy discussion that we need to have. You want to roll out something very quickly. It cannot take years. Maybe it takes 18 months or 24 months in some other countries to get from 0 to 90%. So given the time pressure, I think a lot needs to be done in a coordinated way.
Can you help us contrast the RFID system with, let's say, someone like Singapore CRP? You know, what's different there and what lessons can we learn from Singapore then?
Well, Singapore is a very interesting case, right? I mean, some of our listeners, most of us has been there, you know, we see how the ERP functions. It's gantryless, it's very smooth. But Singapore is the most expensive country to buy a car in the world. We know the COE cost, thousands of Sing dollars, which is why when the Singapore government made it compulsory for all Singaporean vehicles to purchase what we call a vehicle onboard device, OBD, which is essentially an active transponder, Singaporeans have little to protest. You have already paid so much for your COE and for your cars. So if the onboard device costs you another 20 Sing dollars, you would just pay for it in Singapore, right? But in our case in Malaysia, you know, our purchasing power is not that great. So you cannot set the device at such a high prices. Mm. We look at smart tech, 100 ringgit per piece, which is why the penetration rate is not as good. It's eventually the government set the policy and decided on a passive RFID tag, which costs as little as $1 per piece. So it is a different system compared to Singapore. But bear in mind, Singapore started 20 years ago. The passive RFID tag technology is not as advanced. And now we have other options. We decided on passive RFID tag, which I think is a good decision, but we need to do other things, you know, faster and better. Maybe not following the Singaporean path.
Yeah, Yifan, one issue that has been glossed over a little bit in here is the whole issue of toll charges. And toll charges, of course, might be perpetrated by more efficient payment mechanisms, whether it's RFID or smart tag. Shouldn't the governments be also considering a time limit for when tolls should be free all over the country, especially at a time when livelihoods have been hurt by COVID?
Yeah, a lot of politicians have made their promises, right? Toll should be free. You know, if I come into government today, you know, tomorrow toll is free. But we all know we have more than 20 over toll, toll expressways in the country, and each of them are tied with different concessionaire agreements. And we have more new concessionaire agreements coming up. Those expiring will get extended based on certain terms. So we are not getting it free tomorrow. On the other side, in my personal opinion, right, when users pay a certain amount of money to use roads, essentially it acts as a congestion charging in some ways. Hmm. So it is a very powerful policy tool, if used correctly, to control traffic flow, to incentivize people to use maybe public transport or at least don't travel during peak hour. Now our toll rate is uniform, you know, one rate across the day. If we have a dynamic system, you know, during peak hour is more expensive, you know, non-peak hour free or less, you know, it helps a lot. It is a very important, very powerful policy tool, but unfortunately that angle has not been explored since the PH government is removed from the office.
Right. Loose at this point in time, so I'm afraid we'll have to say thank you to Chung Yifan, the independent transport policy analyst. I think we've made this issue much more convoluted than it really should be. Yeah. Right? Because at the end of the day, you want fast and efficient traffic flow. You want to have minimal cost, and you want to reduce the wealth divide in Malaysia, where highways are owned by concessioners, very wealthy ones. Even touch and go is a monopoly, as Wee Fan was saying. I think the day will come. Hopefully, the day can come one day when we don't have to pay to basically for mobility.
But it's interesting, right? Even a price tag of 100 ringgit for a smart tag and 35 ringgit for the RFID is costly for a lot of people already, and many people just can't take it, even though there could be some implied benefits in the longer term.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.